Today's episode is about Mathieu van der Poel's Paris-Roubaix 2023. Hello everyone, I am recording this podcast on April 21st of the year 2023, which means it's about 1 week after Mathieu van der Poel did win the Hell of the North, Paris-Roubaix, for the people who don't know what is the Hell of the North. But if you listen to this podcast, I assume you are nerdy and you know about racing and bikes. Right. So, I'm not going to do a podcast about talking about the race, how was the race, and everything on. It's that anybody can go on internet and rewatch the race or the highlight of the race. So this is not the purpose of this podcast. No, the purpose of this podcast is basically to put my observation on how actually tactically Mathieu van der Poel did win Paris-Roubaix 2023. First of all, we have to admit it's been an amazing race. I hope you did watch it or you did see the highlight. It is a huge performance. Why I'm saying this is because Mathieu van der Poel did win the race at the average speed of 47 kilometers per hour. Well, to be exact, it's 46.84 kilometers per hour. And, well, I'm doing a lot of cycling, but there is no way I cannot even reach 47 for 1 kilometer. I don't think so. It's just amazing that for 5 hours and a half, or 5 hours 28 minutes to be exact, covering 256 kilometers at the average speed of 47 kilometers per hour on a road bike is already a big achievement, a huge achievement. That's no, professional racing, right? But adding to this is like more than 50 kilometers of cobblestone zones or sections, and those are like treacherous, like literally a lot of crash happens there, and flat tire punctures, and mechanical issues. Well, it's just like if you never ride a bicycle, you cannot fathom how huge is the performance to win the Paris-Roubaix, but to win it actually at even the fastest pace ever. It's just, 250 kilometers. It takes me about 12 hours to cover the same. Yeah, all right, it's huge. Anyway. I give a huge respect to all the riders who finish, and it's actually a lot of riders finish this year. It's one of the most, one of the fastest, but also even the top 100 riders, I think I did read somewhere, is actually even faster than last year average. It's just amazing. Incredible. Out of the 175 riders starting the Paris-Roubaix, only 40 of them did not finish it. Well, I'm saying only, but it's a lot of people, because among those people is a lot of people who crash and puncture or just quit the race due to mechanical problem. So that's not a happy story for them, of course. Anyway, let's get back to Mathieu van der Poel winning the Paris-Roubaix, and how did he pull this one out? Well, basically, to first acknowledge the huge thing is it actually took 3 generations before Mathieu wins the race. His grandfather, Raymond Poulidor, actually raced the Paris-Roubaix, of course, and he finished the best race he finished was fifth in 1962. And then Adrie van der Poel, the father of Mathieu, finished Paris-Roubaix on the third position in 1986, which he won the same year, he won the Tour de Flandre. So he's also a specialist of the cobblestones, right? So finally, after so many years, the third generation of the family, Mathieu won Paris-Roubaix. And very, very impressive, of course, I just mentioned, the speed, but not only the speed. So the big clash was to be expected between Mathieu van der Poel and Wout van Aert. And it is very interesting because both of them are pretty much the similar body height and weight. They are like massive mass of muscles and a lot of power are there. And it is very interesting to know that both of them ride with the same brand and model of tires, which are the Vittoria Corsa Pro tubeless. They race on tubeless, not on tubulars. And up to the last minute of the start, before the start of the Paris-Roubaix, you can see on social net social medias pictures of Mathieu with tires in the 700 by 28 on the social media and the medias basically. And for the jumbo team, the riders are on 730s, which means that the bigger section you have, the bigger tire section you have, give you more comfortable ride. Of course, you got power loss because you got a softer tire. But the thing is, you win the race on the cobblestones, or basically you don't win the race, but you don't lose the race if you go through the cobblestones. At least you can reach the finish line. So it's not the whole story, but it is very important here. While with a wider section, you have less chance to have a puncture. It's not a guarantee, but it's because the bike can, the tires, the bigger section, can absorb more shocks. So it works as similarly as a suspension, basically. It smoothens the ride, so then you can focus on pedaling harder and faster, of course, through the cobblestone section. And it's so since it's smoother on the bike, you got less chance to break something, and especially less chance to get a puncture, like you hit a corner of a cobblestone. So here is a story in my observation of the race. Is up to the last minute, Mathieu is seen with 728, and even on the start line, he's seen with a smaller tire. And it is very interesting because Jasper Philipsen, his teammate, who happened to finish the second of the same Paris-Roubaix, he's a second finisher, he's on 732. And actually, Mathieu ends up racing the race on 732. I don't know if he did swap the bike in the first 100Ks of the race. When it is the first 100Ks is actually on pure asphalt. It's just normal road race. So maybe he did switch the bike and we didn't see him switching the bike. So this is the story here. Is actually Mathieu raced basically the pavé on 732, which has more volume of air and can absorb better the shocks of the pavé. And Wout van Aert and Christophe Laporte, who were like the also two main contenders for winning the race, at least for Wout, that was his race definitely. They are on 730, and the team Jumbo actually, if you rewatch the race, had so many punctures, not only two of them, but basically they basically lost the race due to the punctures happening at the wrong time, like really at the key timing of the race, and that definitely cost them the Paris-Roubaix first place because, I mean, Wout van Aert is not going to Paris-Roubaix to finish third. He was there to finish first. I mean, all racers, but especially Wout van Aert. It was his race. He focused so much on winning this race. So basically, yeah, Team Jumbo lost against Mathieu, who was on 7x32 tires. And as I just said, Jasper Philipsen also was on 7x32 tires section. So that's, in my opinion, that's one main reason. Oh, that's not, I mean, the tires don't make it all, right? It's Mathieu optimized his bike to ensure that he's going to win. So now I'm talking about the bike of Mathieu. He's basically racing with the same bike he races any road race. It is his Canyon Aero road bike. The only difference you can see visually is just the tires, because even the wheels are just the normal Shimano C50 wheels. All the group set is a Shimano group set. And Mathieu race with 140 millimeters disc brake diameters in the front and the rear, but it's not only on the Paris-Roubaix. It is his bike setup for even on Milan-San Remo, which he also won, by the way. So only the tires and the double wrap of the handlebar. And actually, Mathieu is the first ever to win the Paris-Roubaix without a glove. You will always hear the stories of the Paris-Roubaix being the hell of the north because it destroys the body of the riders, right? And you got this guy finishing the fastest ever without a glove. And if you go back watching, or you check the pictures on my homepage, Mathieu is racing all the cobblestones with the hands at the lowest part of the handlebar, at the lowest part of the drops. And it is where actually there are more, you feel most flexion of the handlebar. It's most absorbing shocks. You see so many riders with the hands on the top of the handlebars or in the hoods, on the hoods, right? At the stiffest area. And that's definitely showing how intelligent is Mathieu Van der Poel. He knows so much about race. And as I said at the beginning of this podcast, it is three generations of bike racing. Cyclocross world champion and mountain bike racing. He knows what is very important in racing, and all these marginal gains actually help him to finish a race not only as the fastest ever, because that's a accumulation of things like those little tricks which he used for racing, like putting the hand at the where it's most comfortable on the bike, on the handlebar. But it's also like the technology of the current technology of biking, right? Of the bicycles. Like the weight limit of the bicycle did not change for many, many years. It's still stuck at 6.8 kilograms. But because of the technology, the advancement of the technology, like the bikes can become more aerodynamics, but also more efficient in transferring the energy, but in the same time staying efficient in for the power output, it still can be comfortable, which is like for many it is very hard to comprehend, like how can a bike can be comfortable and also stiff enough to transfer the energy efficiently. And that's a lot of work, and that can be achieved with carbon fibers orientation. So I'm not going to bore you with this on this podcast, because it is also a long topic and very technical. But what I want to say is just a combination of small marginal gain. This is what we get. Since 1 year ago, things go faster and faster. Last year, Paris-Roubaix was faster than previous year, and it was also the fastest ever. The Tour de France is also the fastest ever in the year 2022. So the bike weight is not getting lighter. The bikes are not getting lighter, but it's just the race go faster and faster, and the human on the bikes are still humans, but they know, like the science, or the science of the sport is just evolving as everything, and it is very, very impressive, very interesting. So, to get back to the man without glove, well, Mathieu van der Poel is a millennium, which means he's born in 1995. He's the first and probably the last millennial winning the Paris-Roubaix. Millennial means refer to the generation, and it is up to the 1996. After that, it is a Gen Z. And who is a Gen Z, for example? It's Remco Evenepoel, Tadej Pogacar are Gen Z. And it is very... we can expect... Because if you look at the race, or if you follow my podcast or my homepage, I always refer to the Gen Z, many Gen Z racing without glove. And the trend is probably going to grow, especially if you see Paris-Roubaix being won without a glove. It's a big trend setting for the next generation who are watching Mathieu winning. And actually, Mathieu was not the only one on the Paris-Roubaix without a glove. I've seen another riders. I try to remember the name. I think it was a German rider. I forgot the team and the name. I don't have a good memory of the names actually. But yeah, it's by all means, it's not only Mathieu who was on the Paris-Roubaix without glove, but it was unseen until recent years. But now you start to see already few. It's like a literally a handful of riders on the Paris-Roubaix this year without glove. But I'm pretty much sure as the years goes, we are going to see more and more without glove, like on the road race. Like if you look at any big race now, you see a lot more riders without glove than... there are still more riders with glove, but the trend is changing. It's like the white collar shoes. Like you can see all the riders with white collar shoes these days. It's going to evolve. Anyway, let me wrap the podcast if you're still here. As I said, the Canyon bikes of Mathieu is just simple. There is nothing special parts on it. There is no ceramic bearings. Everything is stock Shimano Dura SD i2 12-speed group set. The man is also all simple. Everything is simple and very efficient. Everything is optimized, but there are no... It looks like... Let me paraphrase it. For me, if I look at Mathieu van der Poel, it looks like a sportsman in the Greek era way. Like, just pure muscle, efficiency, and wow. Very, very impressive. If you're still here, I give you a virtual high five, and I thank you for listening, and I hope to catch you on the next episode.